around between 230 and 270. I'm going to let him float around a little bit of 40. I'm going to give him a 40-pound range to float around in. A little grace, amen. He said, I need these characteristics. And I need this kind of personality in him. So I think I'll have him be born in San Leandro, and then I'll move him into East Oakland. And then I'll send him down to South Central Los Angeles for a little while to just get a little spice on him. Then I'll bring him back and then I'll grow him up. And then one of these days, I'm gonna release my plan for him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that beautiful? That's what God did. God made you who you are. Woo, man. God made me. He made me who I am. Amen. He made you who you are. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you think your life is off track, but it's actually God just shaping you. Because you won't be complete till you're fully shaped. Amen. I like cookies. And you get that, you roll the dough out. You get the dough all rolled out. And you get it just right, the right texture, right? And then you cut them up. And I like peanut butter cookies, so you gotta cut them and then you gotta put the fork on top, right? You gotta sprinkle them first. I ain't no dummy, you gotta sprinkle them first. Then you put your little fork on there. Both ways, you know, you can't. You stick them in the oven, and you just wait on them. And you never let them go too long. That's right. Can't be crispy. Can't have no crispy peanut butter cookie. That's a peanut butter sandwich. If you need a cookie, you gotta be doughy in there, right? Gotta be soft. Peanut butter cookie gotta be right. Can't cook a peanut butter cookie like it's a chocolate chip. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord, that you have ordained our steps and you've ordered our way so that we might come to the expected end. We thank you, you told Jeremiah that you know the plans that you have for him. Plans for good and not for evil, to give him a future and a hope. And you told him that if he sought you with all of his heart, that you would hear him and you would answer him. So, Lord, we receive that word to ourselves, that we hearken our ear to hear from you, and we're seeking your face. And we thank you that you will answer us, and you will show us our expected way. We thank you, Lord, as you order our steps this morning, Lord. Let the word of God be spoken as you desire. Let it not be my thoughts or my ambitions, but let it come forth with your spirit. Let it land on good ground. Lord, if any land in this place is stony, we pray that you break it up and allow the word to set and take root in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you give us revelation, and as we receive it, we will apply it to our lives, and as we apply it, we will stand on it until you manifest yourself, because we stand in faith, knowing that you're with us at all times. And when you manifest yourself, we will boldly declare, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. We will impart what we have to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm wisdom. Now, probably somebody probably said, Pastor said that wrong. Didn't he mean to say that I am wise? My answer is no, you are wisdom. You are wisdom. Now, how can that be? How could a person be an element? You're wisdom because God has already spoken over your life. And your life takes shape according to God's speaking. So as I was just talking about peanut butter cookies, which are so dear to my soul. Chocolate chip cookies and peanut butter cookies are not baked the same. Now, to a novice, it may seem like they bake the same. You turn on the heat, stick them in the oven. What's the big deal? It's a big deal. The difference is that different things are created in a different way, and it takes something different in order to bring them to where they're supposed to be. So your way is not going to be the same as the person sitting next to you. Say, you got a good way, but it ain't my way. And tell your other neighbor and say, I'm not talking about my way or the highway. Because that's the wrong way. Amen? I'm not talking about the way that you want to do things. I'm talking about the way that God has got your life on. The road that God has you traveling. The road that God is moving your life through. That's the road I'm talking about. That's the way that I'm talking about. And matter of fact, when the disciples first exploded into Jerusalem and they began preaching the gospel, the people called what they were doing the way. They didn't just say it was the gospel. They didn't call them Christians. They just said the way. Because people understood they were talking about a way to get to God that was different than what the Pharisees and Sadducees had ever taught them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they taught that the way was to come and make these sacrifices, come and do this and come and do that and follow the law and follow these rules. And once you followed all the rules, then you might just be good enough for God to take you. If you do everything just right, if you missed one thing, you're guilty of the whole law. How would you like it if you're speeding down the highway, which I know y'all do? How many of y'all drive 55? Raise your hand. I thought so. Oh, you don't raise your hand. I know. Yeah, you right there. You know who I'm talking to. You passed me many times on the freeway, so even. Why do we not drive 55? 65 is the limit now? How many of y'all drive 65? I'm sorry, I'm behind the scene times. See, nobody drives 65 either. The same person, he drives 65 just like you drive 55, yeah. Why don't we follow rules? Now imagine, you get a ticket for driving 70 in the 65 mile an hour zone. You get grace? Y'all got all these unspoken rules. That's what I'm talking about. You're driving 100 miles an hour and get a ticket in the 65 mile an hour zone. Is that better? That's a ticket for real, right? So the officer comes up and they got the little boxes on there to say what you did, right? All the little fences and little boxes. So all you did was drive 100 miles an hour. But every box on the sheet is checked. You say, that ain't fair, right? But that's what the Jews were taught. If you failed in one point of the law, you offended all of the law. So they lived in perpetual guilt concerning ever being good enough or ever being right or ever being able to talk to God. And then here comes Jesus, who does not grow up in any of the rabbinical schools, is not raised like that. And the only reason that the Pharisees and Sadducees know who Jesus is because his cousin John the Baptist, who was a priest, had been trained in all those things. And so when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus and says, behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, all the Pharisees and Sadducees say, well, who is this dude? Who is this guy? Where did he come from? He's a carpenter's son. He's not a priest. He's not trained in all the other things. So now they're going to keep their eye on him. But what they don't know is that after he gets baptized, God is going to drive him into the wilderness after the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And for 40 days, he's going to be tempted of the devil. And when by the time the Jews get ready to deal with him, he's already been filled with the Spirit of God. And he's ready to deal with whatever they got for him. His way was different. His way was not the same as everybody else's way. His way was different, just like your way is different. And sometimes we want to be like someone or want to be like something or we want to emulate things because that's what we do. But God has got a uniqueness for your road that does not look like anybody else's. And the chocolate chip cookie is sitting over there. He ain't got special treatment with special stuff getting put in his batter. He got chocolate chips all in him, showing off and everything. And here you are sitting in the peanut butter batter, and here is a fork coming down on you. Y'all think about that. Two forks. One life looks like, man, it's shiny, it's perfect, it's got a special name. My name is just peanut butter. Everybody's life is different. And we know that about other things in life, but why do we have a challenge grasping that about ourselves? That our roads are unique, that our roads are special, that our roads are not like everybody else's roads. When we can embrace the fact that we are different, then we can become one with everybody else. Because what the enemy tries to do is make you think you are different because you are wrong. You are different because you don't fit. You're different because of this or that. God has made everybody unique. And so your road is supposed to be different. You might find similarities with certain people, but your road is not the same as everybody else's. And don't mistake not being the same is not that we're not going to the same place, but we did not originate in the same location. Even if you're twins, one's coming out first, the other's coming out second. Their road is going to be different. That's the closest two human beings can be, to share the same genetics, same gene, but even two twins or a set of twins are not going to be the same. God made me. God made me unique. God made me different. I'm not like everybody else, but I'm just like everybody else because I'm still authored by God. How awesome is God who can take 23 chromosomes and make millions of different people? Billions of different people from a 23, he can make billions. How good is God? How awesome is God? And how good is God that he doesn't just leave it to chance? He designed you to be what you are. Who goes into the kitchen? I'm on a cookie thing today. I'm sorry. Who goes into the kitchen? Who does this? Who goes into the kitchen and just starts throwing ingredients into a bowl, not measuring, not thinking, not having any thought to what the outcome is? You're just going to throw some stuff in and throw it in the oven and wait and see what happens? No. You go to the cabinet, you get specific things to make specific things. You arrange things in a certain way. You cook it for a certain length. You do certain things to it because you have a plan. Before the foundation of the world, God knew you, God ordained you, and God has a purpose for your life. You're born with a purpose. And your purpose can only be revealed from the one who's made you. Now, does a cookie have to know what kind of cookie it is? Does a cookie have to understand the difference between peanut butter and chocolate chip? Does the cookie itself have to know the difference? So why do we think we need to know what we are? See, sometimes we crave a label in order to validate who and what we are. But God God is so good that God has orchestrated for me personally, my life, so that every label people try to put on me is never the label that works. Never. Yeah, somebody tried to put that one on. I tried to put that one on myself. But every label didn't work because humans tried to put a label on. And my purpose isn't found in the labels. My purpose is found in the mind of God. My purpose is found in the mind of God. And because I have purpose, because I am yielded to that purpose, it makes me invincible. I want you to think about what I just told you. When you understand that God made you, and you understand that because God has uniquely designed you, if you can yield to God's plan, then the only one who can stop God's plan will be somebody bigger than God. And because there is nobody bigger than God, if I can get in God's plan and be where God wants me to be, that makes me unstoppable, i.e. invincible.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all don't know what to do with that one, do you? I didn't know what to do with it when I thought about it. Because that revelation requires now me to do something with it. We pray every Sunday, Lord, give us revelation and then give us wisdom to apply that revelation to our lives. So the question is, if you understand that God has made you invincible, what do you do with that? Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. I want you to understand something. We believe that God matures us in multiple areas of our lives, okay? Can we bring down the monitors behind me a little bit? Thank you. Monitor 1 and 2. So we believe that God has given us his spirit and is maturing us. In other words, he comes and saves us, gives us this understanding that we're born with a sin nature, and that sin nature is trying to compromise God's purpose for us. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were given a purpose. Adam was given leadership responsibility for the world. And then, with all of that given to him and access to everything in his environment, he is deceived into thinking that he's missing something and that he needs to add something to what God has already given him. And ultimately, that's the problem, is that sometimes we're in the same situation. We still think that we need to add something to who we are in order to be useful to God. And that something's holding back, or we're missing the special key. So there was somebody, some group of people got together and wrote a book called The Secret, right? The Secret. So if you get, means if you get the secret, then that's the answer. Some things are secret because they're supposed to be secret. Just because it's a secret don't mean it's your answer. Oh Lord, let me get me stay on track here because I feel a turn. All right. If you understand that God made you special, that God made you unique, if you understand that because God has made you unique, you have a unique journey, you have a unique way to travel in your life. If you understand that because God has made you unique, that there is no way for anything to stop you if you're on God's plan, then you also then have to accept the things that are on that road and recognize that if those things are on your road, they are things you need to travel through.
Amen.
See, those things I've had to travel through in my life that I didn't understand. And sometimes you can think that because you're traveling a road that has difficult things in it, that means that something's wrong with you, or something's wrong, or God's not hearing you, or God, something's wrong. But God allows you to walk certain things because he has a purpose for it. God never sends us into anything where there is no purpose. Never. There's always something God has in store. So in Exodus chapter 15, God is taking the children of Israel through the wilderness, and he gets them to a certain place, and the people get mad. And they're mad because they started to run low on food, water's bad, people getting sick from drinking the water. And so God has to come and tell them something. And we're going to start at verse, I know we have something up there. I'm going to start at verse 24. And again, this setup for this is that the people started drinking water at a certain place and they all began getting sick. So verse 24 says, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he, being Moses, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them." Okay. Really important here. The water's bad. The people complain. Moses cries out to God. God gives him an answer. He implements the answer. And then, once he sent the answer, the people taste, realize it's good. But it says that there he, or God, tested them. Sometimes your biggest test doesn't come when you're in bad seasons. Sometimes your biggest test comes when you get blessed.
Amen. Say that.
Sometimes your biggest test comes when you just got blessed. And now that you got blessed, what are you going to do? Now that God put his blessing out there, God met a need. God did what he had to do. Now what do we do? Verse 26. So in verse 25, he said, "And there he tested them." 26. "And he said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in my sight,'" whose sight?
His sight.
His sight. Okay. "Give ear to my commandments."
His commandments.
Thank you. His commandments. "And keep all of my statutes."
His statutes.
His statutes. Yes. "I, being he, will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where they were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters.
Wow.
So it says God blessed them. He told them, if you hearken to my voice, you follow my statutes, you listen to me, then I'll bless you. He gave them a blessing and then promised them more blessing. And then he led them to, quote, a new place of blessing. So where does the test begin? The test began when he blessed them the first time. But the exam started in the beginning of the next chapter. Because after they got blessed and they got something from God and they started seeing how God was leading their lives, as soon as they got to the next chapter, they started complaining again. And you know why? The root of the complaint? The root of the complaint eventually became, "When we were in Egypt." So you have a unique way. They want to be like the Egyptians. And eventually, they wanted to be like the Midianites. And eventually they wanted to be like the Philistines. Give us a king. God said, I'm not trying to give you a king. I'm trying to let you talk directly to me. You got a priest. That's all you know. No, we want a king. We want to be like them. We want to be like the other nations. If you're making us a nation, we want to be like their nation. God said, I'm not trying to make you like their nation. You could have stayed. If you wanted to be like their nation, you could have stayed in their nation. You just would have been slaves, but you could have stayed there. Because I'm trying to liberate you. I'm trying to make you free, but you can't have freedom and have bondage. You can't have freedom and then live in the bondage. Because they don't work together. So sometimes the road that we are walking is different because God's trying to reveal who he is. So in this case, he's trying to reveal to them that I am a healer. You're going to be out in this wilderness for 40 years. You're going to need me to be a healer to you. I'm trying to show you who I am. I'm trying to show you that I can keep you in the middle of challenge. I'm trying to show you I can sustain you all the way to the promised land. But the difference between those that made it to the promised land and didn't make it to the promised land were those who had determined to listen to God and not other voices. So God says, behold, I am the Lord who heals you. Behold, I'm the Lord that heals you. So you've tasted something that's got into you and you realize it's not good for your life. You tasted it and you want to draw back from it. You want to go back to the old. God said, don't try to go back. I'm the Lord. I can heal this. I need you to acknowledge that I'm a healer. You don't have to go back to Egypt because you got bad water. You need to let me be the healer and heal you where you stand. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. The world is already under a curse. Okay? The world by itself is under a curse. You plant a garden, you drop your little seeds out there, whatever you like. You can go get the finest organic seeds that are guaranteed to have no weeds in them. And you got your organic stuff and you put it out in the ground and you lay the dirt out and you waiting for your beautiful organic stuff to come up. I guarantee you, there's a weed coming up. Because they're in the ground already. The ground's already cursed. The weeds, the thorns, the thistles, they're already there. And no matter how nice a pretty garden you put down, no matter how much you paid for your seeds, I paid $175 for these seeds. Guess what? Don't make no difference. There's weeds in the ground.
Right.
You better put them in a pot, because otherwise, if you put them in this ground, weeds are coming up. A curse is already in the earth. All you have to do is live in the earth, and sickness or disease or something else will attack your body because the curse is already in the earth. And when they put your skin under the microscope, you're going to find out that what's in that cursed dirt is in your body.
Man,
calcium, magnesium, iron, everything in the ground is in this body. Why? Because that's what God did. He formed us from the dirt. He formed us from the ground. And that's why we're made of what it is. And that's why if you get mineral deficient,
yes,
you will have a problem. Why? Because that's what you're made of. But the you that is not the real you.
Amen.
Because there's a you inside of you.
Yes.
So there's the you that's made from the dirt, and then there's the you that God blew the breath of life into and made you a living soul. That's why, unfortunately, when we do funerals, one of the things that's written in the book that's taken from the book of Job is ashes to ashes, dust to dust. From the earth we came, and from the earth you shall return. But it ain't me that's returning.
Well,
it's the box I'm contained in that's going into the ground, because that's what's made of dirt. Me, I am what God blew into Adam when Adam was just formed of God's hand. The breath of life. I am pneuma spirit that is in me. And because I understand that I'm Numa and not Adam, that when things happen to Adam, the body, I already know that I serve the God who heals me. Now, let me break this so you get this. The God who heals me, I am the God who heals you. He heals you spirit first, then the body. Because he worried about the real you. He's not necessarily totally worried about the box, because he knows the box has got to go somewhere anyway. Some way he's going to get the real you back to him. But in the meantime, he needs to sustain the box you live in until your purpose for the box is complete. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I only need this box till I'm done with it.
That's right.
When I go to the store and I buy cookies, when I buy my peanut butter cookies, when I go buy my cookies, they take the cookie that they spent all this time baking. They take the cookie, they scoop it off the rack, because I buy cookies off the rack, y'all. But no, I don't want that press sealed. I want the one off the rack. I'm telling on myself. Anyway, when they scoop him off the rack, they have a special little wax paper that they put around him. And then they got the little bag, they slide him in. Your body is that bag and that wax paper. That's what your body is. The real you is the thing that God is forming and shaping on the inside of you. And if you mistake the bag for the cookie, you're just going to get a mouthful of paper. If you mistake the bag for the cookie, then you will misunderstand what's going on here. The same way, if you mistake your physical body for the real you, then you will be stuck and you'll get paralyzed when the enemy attacks your paper bag. The enemy start attacking your bag and you start saying, oh my God, I'm a goner. No, you're not. You yet live. You alive. You just the way you've been baked. And you're going to get somewhere and fulfill your purpose. And sooner or later, when you're done with your purpose, you ain't going to need that funky bag. I don't need the bag anymore. When God says, I'm the God that heals you, you cannot get caught up on the condition of your body, because that's what happened to them. He had to tell them, I'm the God that heals you, because you drank some little water and you're scared. Something happened to your body and you're scared and you're frightened, because what does the enemy do? He comes to put fear into your spirit to neutralize you from doing what you're called to do, to fulfill the purpose God has for your life. Amen?
Amen.
Your body does not determine how God will use you. Your body does not determine God's ability to move through your life. God wants you to be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. But the key is, the soul has to prosper in order for the body to prosper. Physical exercise profits a little, but exercise yourself rather to godliness, which has great recompense and reward. Exercising yourself unto godliness means that you're putting God first and you're allowing God to work in your soul so that he can start the process of keeping your body in line as long as you need to go.
Amen.
I had a, I've shared with you guys before, all the way through high school, I thought I was going to play basketball, but I couldn't. Because I'm injured every year. I can't play. So I go to college. I make the team. I'm ready to get my uniform. I said, just get your examination and you're good to go. I go to the hospital to get my little physical, to get the doctor just sign off. He said, nope, you got a heart problem. Wow. I'm not signing off on it. Are you serious? So now I got a heart problem. They won't even let me play. It's crazy. So I dropped out of college. I said, what am I going to do? I'm going to go join the Marine Corps. Marine Corps said, you good to go, buddy. Why? I share that with you because this is reality. Your purpose has already been written. God's already written your purpose. You are the way you are for a reason. The key is, are you the way you are and sanctified to God? Because you can be how you are and be against God or not yielded to God and just be who you are with no profit. Or you can be who God made you to be, give yourself wholly over to God, and let God do miraculous things which other people can't understand because you are doing it in the strength of God. God is my healer. God is my healer. But I'm not getting caught on whether or not I have symptoms to say whether or not God is my healer. Because this is a bag. If the bag's got some wrinkles in it, it don't make no difference. Because somebody hungry gonna open this bag and that cookie's in there good. See, we judge people on those kinds of things. I don't know if I can receive from them. They don't know. If it's the truth, you better receive it. I am the Lord who heals you. I'm going to give you a couple things really quickly when it comes to healing that you need to understand, because these all represent our healing with God and our uniqueness of our walk. So this passage says, I'm the Lord that heals you. In other words, God is revealing his character that he's a healer. That's who God is. I am the Lord who heals you. I am a healer. But there's certain things that we need to understand about ourselves, that if we're going to receive God's healing, there's certain things you need to understand. First is you need to understand who you are and what you are. First, you need to understand you are a spiritual being living in a physical body. When you settle that, then certain other things that the enemy's going to attack you or try to persuade you or get you even into depression concerning will be taken off the table. I am a spirit being living in a physical body. That's the first thing to understand. The second thing you need to understand is that you got to believe that you being well is in God's interests. What I mean by that? I mean that you need to believe that God's purpose for you is important enough that God wants you in position to fulfill that purpose. So there are seasons in people's lives where you might not have self-confidence because you see your uniqueness, and then the uniqueness sometimes gets mistaken for weakness, or you mistake your uniqueness for a design flaw. You ever been to the store and they got the little bin with the irregulars? Yeah, the irregulars, not the abnormals, the irregulars. Brother told me one day, he said, man, hey, you know you're abnormal, right? I said, yeah, I know I'm abnormal. We've been joking about that for 20 years now. But they had a little bin with the irregulars. What are the irregulars? One sleeve too long, button kind of off to the side, all the things that aren't quite right. But most of that stuff you could grab, you can buy it, and you put it on and realize it's irregular, but it fits me perfect. Oops. Oh, man, all this time. You know, they're trying to find another one the same way, right? You're uniquely designed. And when you can accept that your unique design is not a mistake, because some people start to believe that they're different, and so maybe God doesn't love them. God loves other people better. He loves all the people who seem perfect. And the perfect people are the ones who God loves the most. And because they're perfect, that's the evidence that God loves them the most. But what you usually think is perfection is usually overcompensation for what is wrong. I'm going to tell myself, you know why I don't wear contact lenses? Because I got one eye smaller than the other one. So I just stick with the glasses. Because I get tired of people asking me, did somebody hit you in your eye? No, but I'm going to hit you in yours if you don't want, you ask me that question again. Hey. We all are not perfect. But we live in a world that wants to stress people trying to be perfect. And so when you don't, quote, look perfect or act perfect or you're not perfect, and you recognize that, there's a, all of a sudden this sin nature comes upon you and does to you what it did to Adam. It gets you to hide yourself from God. The only problem is God already knows you're there. So sometimes people won't receive from God because we're still hiding from God the things that are not perfect about us. Number three. Numbers 23:19. Book of Numbers 23. We're already exact Exodus. Numbers 23:19. Tell your neighbor, say, don't try to hide your flaws. Tell your neighbor, say, it's okay because I already saw it. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. In the book of Numbers, the enemies of Israel, the nation that's forming, they saw that Israel was progressing. And so they called for a sorcerer to come put a curse on the Israelites. And so he's going to go put a curse on them. And all of a sudden he realizes he can't do it. And he has to say, whom God has blessed, I cannot curse. And who God has cursed, I can't bless. In other words, your blessing, your curse does not lie in the hands of another person. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, your blessing belongs to God. So God speaks a word over them, and I'm going to start at verse 18. Then he took up his oracle and said, this is the prophet speaking, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You need to settle in your heart that God has called you to bless you. And once God speaks a blessing over your life, nothing can reverse it. You understand what I'm saying? You need to settle in your heart that God has blessed you. When God chose you and God made you different from everybody else and God let you have your perfection, imperfections, and God did whatever he's done for you, that even with all of those things, somebody who determines to say, you got one eye smaller than the other, something wrong with you. If somebody wants to say something about your flaw and your thing, you need to still be able to know God has already spoken over me. God has already said, He is my God. He is the one who's looking after me. He is the one who neither sleeps nor slumber on my behalf. He is the God who heals me. He's the God who's my shepherd. He is the God who is my provider. He's the God who does everything I need. And if I know that and I can embrace that, then even if somebody says, your life is over, your life is a mess, your life is whatever, you need to say, you know what? God already blessed me. So no, your words cannot stop God's blessing. You don't know what you're doing. You can't stop God's blessing on my life. They paid this man to come and speak evil because he had power, and they recognized that he was worth paying to curse them. And what'd he say? Sorry, y'all. God already been here. God already spoke the blessing over them. I can't curse them. And not only can I not curse them, I can't reverse the blessing. I can't reverse. Nobody can reverse the blessing on your life if you stay in the blessing. You got to stay in the blessing. When you understand God had made this road for me, I'm going to stay on this road. I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says. And guess what? The blessings of God will overtake you because they can't be reversed. All right. Believe the will of God is for you and not against you. Believe the will of God is for you and not against you. Sometimes we go up and we get prayer for things, and we get prayer, we will walk away from the prayer with doubt because the enemy's coming to drop seeds of doubt. The enemy's coming to drop seeds to get us to explain away why God would want to bless us. He tries to drop things into your environment to get you to explain away why God loves you, to give away the blessing. It's the same old trick he's been doing since Adam and Eve. God blessed them. God spoke over them. God gave them dominion over the earth. And then here comes a snake saying, God didn't give you everything. The same old trick. Same old trick. Same old trick. But God is not a man that he should lie. Now, he's the Son of Man. He has to repent or take back what he said. Guess what? If God spoke something over you and you said, well, I fell and I had this on. Guess what? God's not taking his words back. If God spoke something over your life, it can't be reversed. It can only be given away. What did God speak over you? What did God speak over your life? Well, no, I never had anything spoken over my life. Let me tell you what God spoke over your life. God spoke that if anyone thirsts, let him come after me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's what God spoke over you, that out of your belly is going to come rivers of living water. Living water will come out of you. You know what God spoke over you? He spoke over you, if you go wait in the upper room, you shall be endowed with power from on high. And after that, the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. You shall be my witnesses in all the earth. That's what God spoke over you. What God spoke over you, that you will live and not die, and you'll declare the works of the Lord. What God spoke over you, that's that his eye is over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, which means that when I pray, this is the confidence I have in him, that whatever I ask according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, I know I already have what he asked of me. That's what God's spoken over your life. The question is are you going to receive that, or are you going to let the voices and the difference of your path take you off of what God said? I am the Lord that heals you. God said he's the one that heals me. So you know what? No matter what my body gets attacked with, I don't have a whole bunch of confession about it. I ain't confessing gravity. I ain't confessing sickness. I ain't confessing anything. You know why? Because that's not what God said. I'm not confessing that I'm going to shrink when I... No, I'm not shrinking. I'm going to stand up straight. I'm going to be 6'7" the rest of my days. And ain't going to be no short days either. I'm going to live long and be satisfied. He's going to show me his salvation. I'm going to see my children's children come to God, and I'm going to see it all.
Amen.
Why? Because I know God's blessing. I know what God spoke over me. I know what God is doing. I know what God is working in me. And so whatever happens, I'm not concerned. I'm not going to declare that, because I'm going to say he is the Lord who heals me.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not going to be impressed if I got a wrinkle in the bag. I don't care. The cookie, trust me, the cookie inside is good.
Amen.
And the one in your bag is good. Stop condemning your cookie because your bag is wrinkled. I know y'all wasn't going to like that. Two other things. If you're going to receive from God, that means you have to be willing to release offenses.
Amen.
If we're going to be what God called us to be, we got to release offenses. Because what Satan does is Satan looks for your wrinkle in your bag. And when he finds the wrinkle in your bag, he's going to do whatever he can to persuade you that you are the bag. And if he can get you believing your bag, then every person who tried to wrinkle it is an enemy. Every person who tried something against the bag is an adversary. Every person who does anything is always going to be an adversary. And when people are adversaries, then there's no way for us to be unified.
Amen.
Wow. So as Tammy said yesterday, somebody drove up and they got out of the car, and I was in here and everybody else was outside. I think me and Elisha were in here and then everybody else was outside. And the person comes and starts talking to Tammy, comes and gets me, I come out, and they just basically start prophesying to us. Talking about God doing this, God doing that, God's doing this. Y'all do what God told you to do. Going on and on and on. So, the summary of it all, basically gets back down to this. The person said, I know people have said otherwise. But you have to do what God told you to do. And I'm stopping to acknowledge that you are doing what God told you to do. And even the people who are saying that you're not doing what you're supposed to do have already said they know that you're doing what you're supposed to do.
All right.
y'all get what I just said?
Yes.
Even the people who are saying you ain't doing what you're supposed to do are secretly saying they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. So, you have to know who God is, and don't allow offenses to seal you off. Because if an offense seals you off, you will travel in what we refer to as justified unforgiveness. Justified unforgiveness is when they were wrong for real, but because they were wrong, I have a right to not forgive. But the problem is, forgiveness doesn't do anything for them. They're the offender. And their offense was probably their lash out to what they was mad about in the first place. So they fine. They cool. You offended me. You told me off. Yes, and I feel better that I did. So I'm good. Now you're offended, and I feel fresh as a daisy, because I got it off my chest. But now you're living with guilt and offense.
Wow.
So who's the forgiveness going to benefit?
Wow.
The forgiveness benefits the person who's offended, because they get to say, you know what? All you did was wrinkle the bag.
Wow.
I can forgive you because all you did was touch the bag. You ain't touched what's in here. You haven't touched nothing valuable in here. All you did was insult the bag or offend the bag or harass the bag or do something to the bag. That's all you did was touch the bag. I'm not the bag.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So I can forgive you? Absolutely. You can't touch this. And not only can you not touch me, the word already says that who God has blessed, you can't reverse. You can't change what God has done in my life. You can't change what God is doing in my life. You can't change the course of my life. You can't change anything about me. I have to be the one to give it away. And I'm not giving it away. I'm going to stay right where God said to be. And when he comes back for me, he's going to find me in faith. And when he comes to find me in faith, he's going to give me whatever he's promised. See, to be healed means that God has healed the innermost man. He's healed the innermost person. And because the innermost person is healed, whatever you do to the outside, it doesn't affect me. So sometimes we're worried about the Lord. Did he heal? Did he heal? Dr. Richards was here last month, and there was a young man that was in a wheelchair that came in, and he was sitting in the back, and they brought him here to get prayed for. This family lived in Sacramento. They drove him all the way here so he could be prayed for. So she took him in the back room. They were praying for him, and Kim was back there. She prayed for him, and healing started happening. Healing started happening. Now, when they came out of the room, if you looked at him, you would have judged the bag. And you would have missed out on the fact that God had started healing. Now, when I looked, I'm standing in the lobby when they came out of the room. And I looked, and the enemy attacked me. Ain't nothing happening there. I got attacked right away. But I had to rebuke it. And then when they came out, and they started talking, and his mother started talking about how he could raise his arms. And God had already started healing him. And that his spirit was lifted. He was healed. And the healing started on the inside and was working its way out. But people judge with their eyes. And they judge your bag and try to say or persuade you that you don't have anything. Let's lift our hands. Let's say, I'm a cookie, not a bag. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you glory for your word today. We thank you that your spirit is moving on the inside of us. Your spirit is changing, transforming us, making us one with you. Right now, in the name of Jesus, by act of our faith, we release people who have offended the bag. Right now, we release those who've come against the bag. We release those who we have an ought against, Lord, because of what they've done to us. Right now, we release that in the name of Jesus. Right now, we thank you. We declare that you have made us whole on the inside, Lord, that you have healed and redeemed us by the blood of Jesus. Our spirits have been made new and made whole right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the grace and the mercy and the power of God that you've bestowed upon us, Lord, and we thank you for the healing. You are the Lord who heals us, and we believe what you say. You are not a man that you should lie. You're not the son of man that you have to take back your words. So we thank you, Lord, that what you've spoken over our lives, they will come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand on your feet for just a moment, please? God is so good. God is so good.